for that to happen. Tariq Othman is a Palestinian in Luton, in the south of England. Tariq, welcome. What's your take on these things?
Good. Yeah, I mean, the take is self-explanatory, as everyone has been explaining so far. What we are seeing is, of course, important, and I do think represents a sort of fork in the road for Israel. The discussion it has now, the choice it has now, is to continue isolating itself, to force it into a position where it no longer has any friends, as it now is becoming orphaned by its usual Western parents, or it can decide to move towards a more reconciliatory path and become more peaceful and fundamentally change its Zionist core. But I think related to what many others have been talking about and what you have just mentioned, what is it that we can do? You know, maybe we aren't able to go into and fight with the axis of resistance, as you mentioned. But what is it we can do here in Luton, in London, in the UK, to replicate some of your successes that you've had in Rochdale, for example, and turn them into more powerful and effective successes that can do more of what we've seen in the United Nations today?
Well, I'll be speaking in Luton soon. I hope you come along to the meeting. I have some ideas in that regard. It's not realistic for people in Western countries to travel to Gaza. In any case, frankly, there are enough fighters in Gaza. The resistance is not defeated. What is necessary is to change the balance of power in the region and the balance of power in the world, in the Western world. The old world is dying, that much is obvious, but the new world really is struggling to be born. That's why we are in this extended period under the rule of monsters. The power, growing power, no doubt, of countries like Russia, China, Iran, South Africa, Brazil, is not yet powerful enough to say, halt, no more, no further. We will not accept any more of this. And if you don't stop it, we'll be landing our own ships on your beach that you hope to turn into beachfront properties. We're not yet at that stage. That much is clear. But the axis of resistance in the region is growing more powerful. I suppose the question, I'm going to ask Dr. Marwa this, the question is, how secure are those on the thrones of the axis of assistance? Can we look for any change in their behavior or any change in them being replaced by someone else? Dr. Marwa.
Well, change in their behavior, that's a big no-no, because they are part of the colonial system that was installed in the region. They are an extension to the regimes found in the West. Now, them be ousted, that has to do with how powerful their the natives of those countries are against those regimes. And it's a big debate that could take a lot of time to research and talk about the minorities that are being oppressed and how can they stand in the face of these regimes. But I have a suggestion concerning what your lovely priest was suggesting. And you said it's not applicable because you have access of assistance countries, but I don't want you to forget that there is Lebanon and there is the Mukawama in Lebanon and there's the Saraya Mukawama in Lebanon, which actually accepts anyone who would like to come and take part in the fight against Zionist Israel, because you know we have 120 kilometers between us, give or take 100 plus or minus 120 kilometers between Lebanon and occupied Palestine. And just as Zionist Israel brought about from all over the world mercenaries to help out in this genocide against our people in Palestine from all over the world, despite the fact that they say they are natives to Palestine, which they are not, we can also do that. How? Well, you have to go to the people who are capable of doing that. But Lebanon always welcomes whoever wants to fight against Zionist Israel
Lebanon
and to
will
fight.
Always be there. I entered this Arab world through the portals of Lebanon in 1977. I've never been able to escape, Dr. Marwa. Thank you to you, to Fra Hughes, to Loki, our panelists, to all of the studio audience, and my apologies for those of you who didn't get in. Have it out with Galloway. It's been marvelous for me. I hope it was for you, and if it was, come back for Have It Out with Galloway. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is IRIB English Radio's Viewpoints. I am Hadi Saravi, your host. This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Viewpoints. I am Hadi Saravi, your host. Qadr and its nights are among the important times of the year on Muslim calendar. Although the literature around these nights are rich and a lot has been said and written, these nights are still mysterious and many aspects and values of it are still truly unknown to Muslims across the globe. On this episode, we try to shed yet another light on it. I would like to start our team of experts here in the studio. On my left, dear brother Ali, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum, and thanks for inviting me to your show.
It's great to have you here. And also Dr. Rouhani is a very esteemed guest, and this is great to have him again here. Welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah,
thank you for being here. So let's start with a question, a very important one. Let's talk about the meanings behind these nights, and also, you know, there are different meanings behind it. Some people say that these nights are the nights of destiny, and also, and words like that, and many other thoughts have been arisen. So let's start from Dr. Rouhani, your thoughts on the meanings and philosophy of these nights.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, Laylatul Qadr, or Night of Qadr. Qadr means measure or destiny. This night, which is a specific night in the holy month of Ramadan, is named and termed as Laylatul Qadr by the Holy Quran. Of course, it is the night of the revelation of the Quran, and it is the night of predestination of the coming years, of affairs of the coming year for everyone. That's why it's called also Night of Destiny or Night of Predestination, we can say. In the Quran and the Ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salatu wasalam, Laylatul Qadr or Night of Qadr is said to be one of the very significant and valuable and precious time and night in which the ibadah and worship is like 1,000 months. It values 1,000 months. In this holy night, and its virtues and its importance, its value is so much high that is not comparable to any other kind of night in any other time. So that's why in this night the sins will be forgiven inshallah ta'ala by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this night the angels descend on the earth, tanazzalul malaikatu wa ruh. Fiha bi'idhni rabbihim. It refers to the descendants of the angels on the earth. From the Shiite perspective, it's a very important question that so the angels descend on the earth. On whom they descend? To whom they talk? To whom they refer? According to the Shiite teachings and doctrines and Ahl Bayt school of teaching and doctrines, these angels will come to the Imam. and revealed, or let's say decide about the affairs of the new year of the followers of Islam and the other people in this night, which is called a night of Qadr. But regarding the exact timing of this night, that on what exact night this night is, of course, there's a consensus among all Muslims, Muslim scholars, that it is in the holy month of Ramadan. But according to the Shiite ahadith and, let's say, doctrines, it is highly possible to be in the 23rd of the holy month of Ramadan. But most of the majority of the Sunni or Sunnite scholars, they are of the view that it will be on the 27th of the holy month of Ramadan. But of course, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, based on the sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, they actually celebrate all the 19th and 21st and 23rd of the holy month of Ramadan as the night of Qadr.
Okay, so very well said, thank you. And the timing, the timings of it are under question, but they said, I mean, it's chosen, you know, somehow between three nights. And you talked about the timing. Is it important, you know, we can celebrate, I mean, we can appreciate these nights. Why 3 days? And is it hidden somehow?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Well, maybe the philosophy behind not having or not disclosing the exact date of this holy night is due to its preciousness. I mean, when we have a treasury, we try to hide it in different, let's say, safes to keep it safe.
Now, you safeguard it.
Yeah, we safeguard it in order to show the importance of it. Even a piece of diamond is usually kept where? I mean, in the street? No. It is usually kept in the most important safes. So, we want to say that by this, the Muslims are, for example, are encouraged to value all these three nights to at least, if it is going to be at the third night, to prepare themselves for the entrance in the third night, right? If it is in the first night, at least they need to actually control themselves and have those recommendations and try to keep up with those recommendations or mustahabbat and whatever has been said in the books of dua and supplication, and even scientific discussions, which has been actually recommended a lot in these nights, because it shows even the rationality of our religion, that even in the most important night of the year, wants us to search for knowledge. I mean, to be in search of knowledge and science. You see, it shows the importance of science and how this religion actually pays attention to gaining knowledge, and even these important nights. Though on the dating, even there is another version of the night of 27th for some of the Islamic denominations, but majority of but some Muslims usually actually try to keep up with these three nights: the nights of 19th, 21st, and 23rd. But it's good to, as I said earlier, it's good to value and appreciate all these three nights, and even in case for those who are interested, because we have in the hadith that the Holy Prophet even, I mean, left the house usually at the last decade of the holy month of Ramadan and started i'tikaf in the masjid. I mean, the Holy Prophet himself has been valuing and appreciating the last 10 nights, you see? And
He himself appreciated all these three nights
nights, due to a hadith that has been narrated from the Holy Prophet, that one a person, an Arabi, came to the Holy Prophet and asked him, since I'm coming from from distant villages, can you tell me which night is the night of Qadr, so that I come and attend the programs and I value and appreciate it.
Got it.
Then the Holy Prophet said something in his ears. Then from that year and onward, the people have been saying that this old man is actually valuing and appreciating and attending the programs, for example, in the third night of Laylatul Qadr, that is on the 23rd. So still, we don't want to say that for sure this is the third, the third night of Qadr is the night of Qadr that we are talking about. That important night. But it's better to value all these three consecutive nights, inshallah, to take the benefits of them. Even if they are not going to be, the first two are not going to be the nights of Qadr, at least we have did a good action. A mustahab action. We recited the Holy Quran, we searched for the knowledge, and we were in search of gaining knowledge and science.
Yeah.
So we didn't do any bad thing. So it's good to at least do whatever we can and whatever we are able to do.
And also what you said, it's... these nights, appreciating, staying awake, sometimes reading, studying, thinking about this universe, the values. And also we can think about some religious concepts are appreciated. And also reading du'as sometimes, reciting Quran sometimes is very valued. I want you to help us understand, Dr. Rouhani, about the importance of these ideas, how to better spend our precious time over these precious nights, how to get the best out of it.
Yes, of course, if we refer to ahadith and riwayat, there are specific recommendations on Laylatul Qadr that we can practice. For example, it is said that ghusl is one of the rituals of this holy night, and prayer of Laylatul Qadr, which is a specific prayer that can be performed, reciting Surah 44 and Surah 97 of the Holy Quran in this holy night, reciting the supplication of Al Jawshan Al Kabir in this holy month is very much recommended. Ziyarah of Abdullah Al Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam is very much recommended in this holy night. And holding the Quran on the head and ask forgiveness and make dua in this specific night. They are some of the rituals that can be followed in this holy night. Particular acts for each night are also mentioned in some of the, dua and supplication sources that people can refer, brothers and sisters can refer and perform those kind of rituals. These are some specific kind of recommendations in this holy month. But of course, there are some, of course, secrets also in this holy month that are also mentioned in the riwayat that we can refer to some of them. For example, when it comes to this point that what are some of the secrets of this holy month, in some of our hadith it is said that if someone understands the true status and rank of Lady Zahra salamullahi alayha, this is one of the secrets of the Laylatul Qadr. This is very much important that are mentioned in riwayat that Lady Fatima salamullahi alayha is referred to as the secret of the night of Qadr in a hadith and riwayat. And also the a'mal, or let's say the rituals performed by this lady, should be followed in this holy month. And also, the night of Qadr is a kind of evidence for proving the truthfulness of Tashayyu. Tashayyu is school of thought and, let's say, religion. Because in this holy night, the night of descendants of the Malaik or the angels happen in this night. So the Shiite scholars, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, are of the view that of course these angels, when they come to the earth, when they descend to the earth, on the earth, so of course they will share something with the Khalifatullah ta'ala on the earth. And the question is that this tanazzalul malaikati warruhu fiha, tanazzalul malaika, means that every year, every night of Qadr, in the Holy Quran it said that every night of Qadr, this malaik tanazzal.
It has a continuation.
Yeah, it continuously happens. So then the question is that on whom, on which place, on which house, on which people the descendant. That's why in our riwayat it is mentioned that they will descend on the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam, and nowadays on the Imam al-Asr arwahuna fidah. And then the affairs of the people will be predestined in this holy night.
Thank you. Our guest mentioned, Adr and Quran are in a way connected to each other. On these nights, humanity, especially Shia, lost a great man too, one who was a true exemplar of Quran in action. Let's make a promise to ourselves. Let's try to take one step toward reading and thinking about these divine concepts. And by doing so, let these heavenly words revive our body and soul. That's all the time we have. Don't forget to tune in next time. For now, may the mighty Allah bless you all. Stay safe.
يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا فيك أتى القرآن من حضرة الرحمن فيك أتى القرآن من حضرة الرحمن للناس بالفرقان يا ليلة القدر
يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر
اطلب من الرحمن العفو والغفران اطلب من الرحمن العفو والغفران ما أكثر الإحسان في ليلة القدر
يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Everyone, thank you for being with us again. I'm Amina Taylor, and this edition of Gaza Under Attack With us for this edition of the program, in the studio alongside myself, the journalist and broadcaster Ted Kofi, and with us via Skype from Johannesburg in South Africa, Tshetso Magama. Tshetso is a longtime political activist, and he served in various roles within the African National Congress, the ANC, as well as leading other grassroots movements in South Africa. And he joins us in his capacity as the spokesperson for Africa for Palestine. Welcome to you both. Tshetso, we know that South Africa has done more than be empathetic. They've really been using every power at its disposal to get a cessation of violence here. So do you think this move by the UN Security Council has come too little too late here, especially when you have nations like South Africa pushing forward for more?
Well, I mean, within the context of the suffering that is taking place amongst the Palestinian people in Gaza at the moment, you know, it can never be too little too late. Indeed, it is late in the day. And of course, we should, as we ought to be worried about, the fact that this ceasefire will only last for the remainder of Ramadan, which is roughly about 2 weeks. What we would have liked to see is, of course, a permanent ceasefire. And of course, you know, accompanied by a path towards a resolution of the fundamental grievance of the Palestinian people. Because without that, you know, this is only a short respite. And Palestinians cannot be asked to give up their right to resist against, you know, I mean, resist such a brutal occupation and apartheid. And so, that's what we would have liked to see. But as it were, you don't always get what you want. And so given that, I think the fundamental issue now for us is to the extent that it's possible to alleviate the suffering, to minimize the suffering of the people there, getting the humanitarian aid, and of course, you know, they have a ceasefire. And then a process can then unfold, because I think that should give us the international community, to the extent that there is something called an international community, given this, of course, you know, disastrous, catastrophic failure of the United Nations system.
Indeed. Let me just ask you this very briefly, and your response in less than a minute, please. We've seen no compliance thus far. 76 people have died over the past just hours. They didn't adhere to the ICJ's interim ruling. Why are they going to adhere to this one?
Look, I think Minister Naledi Pandor was, she had a very concrete proposal. Very concrete proposal. She said, look, let the powerful armies of the world go into Gaza, deliver humanitarian aid. And that probably is the only thing that will force Israel to adhere. Will Israel bomb, you know, target Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabian or the Egyptian forces or the United Kingdom's forces? Because the UK and other powers, especially the P5 members, of course, excluding the United States, you know, the permanent members, will Israel do that? No, they won't. And so in the same way that they are certainly not going to target the Biden's so-called peer in Gaza, they're certainly not going to target Russian forces or Chinese forces when they deliver humanitarian aid. And that,
indeed,
of course...
Let's stick a needle in this point and come right back to it, because I'm keen to hear how we address the rest of this lack of compliance here. But very briefly now to a more domestic position, because since October the 7th, the UK has abstained in every ceasefire vote at the UN Security Council until last week. We asked the pro-Palestinian activist Aman Shahzad what he thought was behind the UK's change of heart.
I believe there's so many agendas, whether it's a country for the economy, whether it's a politician for their votes. There's always going to be the agendas in the, to begin with. I think it's a prime example is Keir Starmer, the head of Labour, the head of opposition in the UK. His stance on the conflict going back 2-3 months ago, he was violating international law, saying that Israel have a right to cut off supplies of food, water and electricity. Now his stance is that there should be an immediate ceasefire around a month ago. I think there's complete and utter carnage within politics. I feel like people are just picking and choosing who they want to support, when they want to support it, whenever it suits them. Now they've done polls in the UK to show that Muslim voters, I think it's 38% of Muslim voters said they're unfavourable towards Israel compared to their stance and position last year. The pressure is on the elections now. Even Joe Biden, again, has taken a step back from his stance. Although it's important to note that, again, the US abstained from the vote when it came to this UN resolutions. So I do feel like there's a lot of political agendas that are being pushed.
Aman, who's also a Nasheed artist, said pro-Palestinian activism is even more important now than before. Just because a ceasefire vote has been achieved, it doesn't mean Palestinians are safe or at peace.
Firstly, it's very important for all the motions, all the movements in the UK that support Palestine to unify as one. There should be, I think they had the London protests going on for a period of 3-4 months every single weekend. And I think that's very important that we continue that pressure in London, outside the Prime Minister's home, outside the Israeli embassy, where we stand as one, united in our millions to show that we are all Palestinians, we support the cause, we stand against genocide. It's very, very easy for this government to paint this picture that those who support Palestine are actually pro-Hamas, those who support Palestine actually should be investigated. I think this is a very, very tactical kind of pursuit by the government, and it's completely unfair. Therefore, there needs to be people who are educated, people who stand and speak. There needs to be media outlets like, you know, there's Novara Media, who's done amazing work. There's Owen Jones. There's so many media platforms that are doing amazing work. These need to be pushed into the media, and we need to stop the censoring of information. And by doing that, obviously be careful with what content you're posting, and please keep pushing this cause forward on social media, on your platforms, and keep boycotting as well. And the final thing I'd say is put pressure on MPs. I mean, amazing news just about a couple of weeks ago when we had George Galloway run for MP, actually won in that region. I think there needs to be a new wave of independent candidates who don't have a chief party whip, who can make decisions in Parliament, who can kind of have a stance and a view without having the view of the party. I think that's definitely one way. Put pressure on your local councillors, put pressure on your MPs. That's the way forward.
The Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, has called the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, a lifeline of hope and dignity, as he urges countries who've paused funding to reinstate the urgent support. Guterres also spoke of Israel's growing isolation in light of the global calls to respect the ceasefire vote at the UN. Let's listen in.
I deeply regret the decision that was taken to stop funding to UNRWA, and I strongly hope that that measure will be revoked, especially when the reports that we are now preparing by independent entities on investigation and the review of UNRWA will be published. I see a growing consensus emerging international community to tell the Israelis that the ceasefire is needed. And I also see a growing consensus. I heard it in the US. I heard it from the European Union, not to mention, of course, the Muslim world. A growing consensus to tell clearly to the Israelis that any ground invasion of Rafah could mean a catastrophic humanitarian disaster. And I strongly hope that this consensus that is emerging in the whole of the international community will make Israel reflect and avoid what could be a dramatic tragedy.
So much to get through in so little time. Let me go through those developments with the last moments we have left on this edition of Gaza Under Attack. Ted Kofi and Tsetso Magama are still with me. Tsetso, before we went on that slight segue there, you had some thoughts about the South African position of putting an army in place to deliver this aid, to get the situation moving. Just please continue on that track for us, please. We've got about 3.5 minutes of the program left.
Yeah, okay, briefly. Look, Minister Pando made a proposal when asked the very same question. How do you get this, if such a decision were to be made by the Security Council, how do we get it to be implemented? And she mused about the possibility of deploying of, you know, especially powerful countries in the region, and of course those members, permanent members of the Security Council, to deploy their militaries. And then the question that naturally arises is, will Israel target French, American, British, you know, Egyptian troops, you know, delivering humanitarian aid? No, they certainly won't. And that should effectively bring Israel's operations to an end. So the question then becomes, do we have those countries, especially those in the region, the ones in the global north, it's highly questionable, but do we have the political will in the capitals of the global south, and in particular in the region, especially those countries that have the gravitas in the region, to take such a step to get Israel, to force Israel's hand in this matter? And that's the only way, because as we know, the Security Council doesn't have its own mechanisms of implementing its resolutions. It relies on member states that have the capabilities and the resources to do it. Those countries are right there. They have the capabilities. They've had billions of dollars to bomb Yemen. It shouldn't be a difficult task to send in their militaries to protect the people of Gaza.
Indeed, Tisetso, we always seem to have money for the bombing, but not the cleanup. Ted, the floor is yours for the last portion. I mean, we can see that there's been a reaction. There is even the threat of legal action to get Britain to unpause its UNRWA funding. So many different things have been happening in this respect. But if Israel say, look, we're not even going to listen to you right now, does it matter what the rest of us do?
Well, it just goes to show that this problem with Palestine, with Gaza, has to be looked at in twin tracks. The tactical solutions that Tetzo, for example, has talked about, it's a brilliant solution. It's 1+1=2. It's a slam dunk, as they would say. However, for that to happen, you have to understand that the underpinnings, the strategic issues, must also be addressed. As long as Israel is buying weapons, as long as Israel is the Western powers' aircraft carrier in the sea of the Middle East, as long as the Western powers have a strategic interest in maintaining Israel there to look after their geopolitical requirements in the region, it's going to be very difficult for legal machinations, UN machinations, brilliant minds like Tisetso, putting up these ideas for it to function. That's why
Indeed.
Edmund Burke said, you know, for evil to flourish, all that is required is for good people to do nothing.
And the Gazans can well think we've been sitting on our hands, Tet. It does it for us for the moment. Ted Kofi and Tisetso Magama were my special guests, and our thanks to them and, of course, to you for being with us. And until next time, continue to keep Palestine in your hearts.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salamun Alaikum and welcome to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio on the 20th of Ramadan 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. You're listening to this episode from IRIB English Radio from Iran. This night is the second night of Qadr.
Ya Laylat al-Qadr, ya Fawwa Barina, khayrun min al-Dahr, bil-Afw Tatina.
Ya Laylat al-Qadr, ya Fawwa Barina, khayrun min al-Dahr, bil-Afw Tatina.
On the 20th of Ramadan, corresponding to 12th of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Please keep us in your dua and prayers during these nights and these precious moments. For this episode, we choose Chapter Al-Qadr. We listen to it and then we come back to speak about this chapter.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr.
Indeed, we sent the Quran down during the night of decree.
وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرُ.
And what can make you know what is the night of decree?
لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ.
The night of decree is better than 1,000 months.
تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ.
The angels and the spirit descend therein by permission of their Lord for every matter.
سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر.
Peace it is until the emergence of dawn.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
How is the night of honor better than 1,000 months? Apparently, this night as being better than 1,000 months is for the value of worshipping and keeping vigil on that night. The narrations on the virtue of the night of honor and the virtue of worship on it are abundantly mentioned in the books of both major groups of Muslims, the Shiites and the Sunnis, that certify this meaning. Furthermore, the descent of the Quran on this night and the descent of the divine blessings and grace caused the night to be better than 1,000 months.
Ya Rabbu Ya Rahman, Ya Khaliq Al-Akwan. يا رب يا رحمن يا خالق الأكوان زدنا من الإيمان في ليلة القدر
في ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا
يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا.
Let's look at the benefits and rewards of the night of power or Laylatul Qadr. The holy night of Laylatul Qadr, otherwise called the night of power, night of decree, or the night of destiny, incites 1,000-month worth of rewards in a singular eve. If one executes any acts of goodwill on this night, they reap the rewards of having performed the good deed for 1,000 months, or 83 years. This is believed to be the night that Allah revealed the Holy Quran to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, linking the night of power or Laylatul Qadr and their relations to one another. As a result, it's during this night that our destiny is said to be written for the remaining year. Consequently, everyone should make the most of this significant occasion by gaining as much reward as possible.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Laylatul Qadr. Wa ma adraka ma Laylatul Qadr. And what can make you know what the night of decree is, or the night of power is? Imam Ridha alayhi salam has said, Allah determines a night of decree, everything that will happen from this year until the next, whether life or death, good or bad, or sustenance. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees on this night will certainly come to pass. Certainly this does not conflict with human free will and the concept of choice, because divine decree is issued by angels according to individuals' merits and qualifications and in proportion to their faith, piety, purity of intention and deeds. Without doubt, concepts such as promise and threat, warning and glad tidings, punishment and reward are meaningless without human having will and choice. The presence of humans in the gatherings of the night of decree, worship, prayer, and etc. are manifestations of human will and choice. The greatest mistake regarding the reality of divine will is that some people consider themselves the owners of everything and think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolutely delegated all affairs to his servants. Thus, there is neither reward nor punishment nor responsibility in ethics. Another group thinks that humans are compelled beings with no choice or freedom, and everything is determined by fate and destiny, while the truth is something in between these two views, meaning neither the compulsion of fate and destiny nor the absolute delegation to the servants, because some actions we perform by our own will and choice, such as eating, drinking, going, coming, and etc. And in some other actions, like being born, dying, and etc., our will and choice are not involved. On the night of decree, numerous angels descend to earth, so much so that the earth becomes crowded with them. Therefore, it is called the night of decree, or destiny, or Qadr, because one of the meanings of Qadr is constriction and tightness. And on this night, the Quran, with all its status and significance, was revealed by the angel of high rank to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
Now, what to do in the night of Qadr? During the month of Ramadan and over the course of the year, many of us tend to recite the Holy Quran without knowing what it is we are actually reading. Take some time out to translate the meaning of the Holy Quran on this night. It is, after all, the night the very first verses of the guidance were revealed. Ask yourself one simple question. Would you read an English book from cover to cover if you did not understand what you were reading? think about it twice. Now another a'mal is supplications or du'as. It is said that you may ask Allah for whatever you wish for on this night, legitimate desires, of course. But in doing so, do not forget to make as much dua as possible for others and seek repentance as much as possible to your Lord for your sins on this night. Keep us in your prayers too.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد
تدعو إلى الدين القويم من الرشاد
يا إخوتي هيا بنا نسلك طريق الراشدين يا إخوتي هيا بنا نسلك طريق الذاكرين
ومضات
Laylatul Qadr is a time for self-reflection. The night of power is a time for self-evaluation, meaning you should reflect upon yourself, question these things. As a Muslim, are you humble? Is there more you can do for your amal, or is there more you could do for others whilst you still have the opportunity? Are you a good person? Do you have decent characteristics? Have you got good morals and values? Do you have good akhlaq? Could you be a better person? Identifying all the things you feel you could change or better about yourself. Accept that no one is perfect and be your own harshest critic in order to improve, inshallah.
Ya Allah.
I used to fly from Orange County Airport, and once you take off, immediately you are over Balboa Island and Newport Beach. So when I walk in Balboa Island, I look at the prices of these homes. Each one is 5 million, 7 million, 10 million, some of them $20-25 million. You see them big when you walk next to them, but when you fly over them, and it's only couple of thousand feet, no more. You see, these homes of multi-million dollars are so small, so insignificant. My friends, this is the reality of this life. We have to look at the life from above. Then we will find the reality of this life. Everything in this life, every mansion, every castle, every palace, every city, every skyscraper is so insignificant, so little, so small, because you are higher now, you are higher. When you are higher spiritually, every material thing becomes so small to you. You don't get attached to it. But if you are low spiritually, then you are overcome by materialism. Then you get attached to everything. Remember this analogy, don't forget it. Laylatul Qadr tonight tries to make us higher, to lift us up spiritually, to lift your heart up.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special. And I invite you to listen to other episodes on parstoday.ir/en, tag Call of Islam, and there is our archive there. Thank you very much and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami. لا فتى إلا علي إمامي علي إمامي.
لا إله إلا الله، الله ربي،
محمد نبي، علي إمامي.
لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli forces continue to attack Gaza's hospitals and the displaced people taking shelter there as the regime's genocidal war enters its 177th day. Several international aid organizations call for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, warning that the health system in the besieged territory is on the verge of collapse.